Grace, joy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think the coinage was from Mark Andreessen. He's the original coder of the web browser, but more famous these days as a venture capitalist. He took the calling, whatever people had to have an opinion on, the current thing. The current thing would change with the seasons, or when everyone had exhausted themselves with the current thing. Now, Andreessen was doing it largely to mock the conformism of masses of supposedly intelligent people unthinkingly supporting propaganda. I support the current thing, with the current thing always being whatever those in power thought correct. But the NPC, the non-player character, I think captured that thought better. The current thing demanded a split and argumentation. But when the arguments were over, absolutely nothing changed. There was just another current thing. Contrary to the current thing, which causes unceasing argument and division, and then just disappears, you might posit an eternal thing. It shares with that current thing an unceasing argument and division. But unlike the current thing, the eternal never goes away. And it changes everything. Joseph and Mary have come to the temple for the time of purification. This comes not from what Christians have labeled the moral law, the Ten Commandments, but it comes from the ceremonial law, the laws governing ritual cleanliness and uncleanliness. You can find all of it in Leviticus 12. The time period is 40 days for a male child, 80 days for a female child. Why the difference? Don't really know. Every rabbi seems to have a different opinion. That's what the sacrifice is about. Restoring Mary and probably Joseph's ritual cleanliness. Anyone who helped with the delivery of the child, which Joseph probably did, seeing as it was in a stable away from home. But anyone who did would be ritually unclean. And the sacrifice, scaled to affordability, was the purification. But if the child was a male and the firstborn, it was claimed by Yahweh. You had to redeem the child. Luke is quoting Exodus 13, which we read. But the rules are in Numbers 18. And the redemption price was set at 5 shekels of silver to the priest. A pre-1936 U.S. silver dollar has been used for exactly this in the U.S. Modern money, of course, doesn't have enough silver in it, or any. So none of it satisfies that requirement. So they still go back to those silver dollars. If this was done later, if you didn't do it in the first year or so, the price of redemption would change, per Leviticus 27. So it's interesting to me that Luke says they brought Jesus to present him to the Lord. And he cites not the redemption price, but he is called holy to the Lord. If Mary and Joseph had redeemed Jesus, I think Luke, who is pretty careful about mentioning the exact sacrifice for purification, would have said something. But he doesn't. And intuitively, I guess I tie it to the 30 pieces of silver that Judas takes for betraying it. And then he tries to give it back to the priests. Although I have to admit, that's just intuition and religious imagination. On their way to carry out everything according to the law, they run into Simeon and Anna. And both of them have important things to say. But what I want to focus on is Simeon's words to Mary. Behold, look, pay attention. Something important follows. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel. He's a sign of contradiction. And yes, our translation has a sign that is opposed. That just isn't very poetic. And neither is it strictly literal, which would simply be a sign spoken against. And the outcome of this sign is that the thoughts of the hearts of many might be revealed. This child Jesus and the man that he would become is the pivot point around which the people of Israel rise and fall. And we really should hear those words apocalyptically. The falling word is the falling of a house, like the house built on the sand. It's a word for total destruction. Not merely slipping on the ice or losing one's balance, but falling flat and losing everything. And the word for rising, it's the same word the gospel uses for resurrection. This child is appointed for the destruction and resurrection of many in Israel. And how does this destruction or resurrection come about? The life of this child, Jesus, is the sign. Now, the signs were originally the 10 plagues. Signs are acts of God. They were the acts of God pointing to his surpassing greatness. The life of Jesus is the sign. And it's a sign of contradiction. People will speak against it. And everywhere that Jesus is proclaimed, Satan and the world rise up to contradict him. They nailed him to the cross. And that cross becomes that sign of contradiction. Because everywhere that that cross is preached, everywhere the church does her job, proclaiming Jesus until he comes, Satan and the world stand firmly against it. Everywhere, the grace and truth of God seeks to enter our lives. Our great enemies are right there attempting to snatch it away. Everywhere the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed and the life of sanctification preached, something is there to deny it. And 2,000 years later, this is still true. Because the life of Jesus is that which reveals hearts. Far from the current thing, the cross is the eternal thing. It stands over the wrecks of time, decreeing peace. The manger tells us that God is with us. And the life of Jesus shows us that narrow way of grace and truth. The way to resurrection. But it's never without contradiction. This child, Jesus, is the eternal thing. All creation divides over this one. And he changes everything. Because Christ has become the cornerstone set by God. We can trip over that cornerstone, rejecting it, and build our lives on the sand. That stone can fall on us. We can fight as hard as we can, being part of that contradiction over its placement in the world. But we're fighting God, and that stone crushes us. We can build our lives on Christ. We can confess his name and believe the cross and believe the sign that Christ has made full atonement for us. We can fall, or we can rise. And the life of Christ is that eternal thing. The sign of contradiction that reveals hearts. And such a confession is not without trouble in this world. Even his mother, as Simeon would say, would have her soul pierced by this. Unlike the current thing, which is whatever we're arguing about currently, and then it just rolls away and has nothing more to do with us. What we confess about Jesus cuts deep. Costly, as all love is costly. But part of the good news is that all signs eventually meet their fulfillment. The sign points to the rising. This is the way. And one day, the redemption of Jerusalem comes in its fullness. No longer will Satan and the world be allowed to contradict it, but every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, just like those angels did on Christmas. Today, like Jesus, our pattern, we grow. And part of that growth is that trouble, that struggle. We grow often through contradiction because we grow in faith. We grow in understanding the love that God has for us. But tomorrow, the sign is fulfilled. Tomorrow, everything demanded according to the law is fulfilled. And all that remains is the love of God for us. All that remains is that day of the rising. Amen.